bit of a hard act to follow. But, yeah, I just want to ask, can you give Sarah another round of applause, please? You know, it takes a lot of courage to be able to share such a difficult message, and it's challenging when we see it. And but you know, like Sarah said, you know, the board, the leaders, we've been on this journey, we've been praying, and you know, I love the verse 2 Corinthians 9:8 where it talks about God will bless us abundantly, you know, in all things at all times for all that we need, so that we can abound in every good work. Amen. He will not place us in this position. He will not give this vision that He's placed on our hearts to. That we are loved by Him, to embrace all people, to empower each other and to impact the community, unless He was going to equip us. And we truly hold on to that. And but it's not easy. It isn't easy. And I realise that as well. And, you know, Rena was praying with a couple of other brothers and sisters just before this, right? And they were saying, like, they were sharing, like, God has been placing this message in my heart as well. He has been culminating this message. And it's true. Over the last 8 months, I have been on a journey of faith as well. And that's what I want to share with all of you this afternoon, my personal journey of faith. So you all ready for it? Yeah? Okay, so the title of my sermon today is about fear, is about faith, and is about freedom. Okay? It's about fear, it's about faith, and it's about freedom. So let's just open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for this time that we are able to be here in Your presence right now. We know that You are our provider and that we continue to walk faithfully in You, Lord. We know that You have great things in store for our community, that we are going to be that testimony of who You are in a year's time, Lord, that we continue to walk and journey with You. And we pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. All right. So I grabbed my clicker instead of the other one. Very good. Okay, so I want to talk about the first bit. So fear, faith, and freedom. So I want to talk about fear first. When we think about fear, a lot of us think about some of the visible fears that we have. You know, we talk about fear of heights, we talk about fear of the darkness, or we talk about, you know, fear of bugs or fear of spiders, right? Those things are the visible fears that we see. And I was going to tell you guys, like, I actually learnt about a visible fear that I didn't realize even existed. So my son Kieran, he's 11 years old, and we decided to enroll him in basketball, get him involved in team sports a little bit. And then at first, when I was watching him play, he struggled to interact with the other players in his team. And we thought, what's going on? This is a bit odd, right? But maybe he's just a little bit shy. So after a while, we saw this pattern of behaviour starting to culminate. So when the coach called all the teams and all the players to come together in a bit of a huddle, he would just walk around on the outskirts and not really listening. And then when they finished their game, the players on each side stand there, they stomp their feet and they give each other high fives, and he will avoid giving the other team a high five. So I decided to address it. I went up to him and I said, Kieran, what's going on? And my son said to me, Dad, you just don't understand. And I go, help me understand. What's wrong? And he said, well, Dad, the boys smell and they stink and they sweat. And I go, what do you mean they sweat? All boys sweat. They run. But you don't realize that. They are sweating and they're dripping like a waterfall. So I looked at him and I saw the fear in his eyes. That was visible fear, church. And you know, when we see these visible fears, sometimes we can actually address them. If I'm scared of the dark, I can have a nightlight. Parents, deodorant doesn't go astray, okay? A little bit of deodorant that stops the sweating doesn't go astray. But what grips our world today is not the fears that are visible. It's the fears that are unseen. What I'm talking about here is the fear of rejection, the fear of uncertainty, the fear of failure. Those are the things that really grip us internally and inwards, that we can struggle and we have this internal conflict that others may not be able to see. So I'll share with you my testimony. So I've been working for the same company for over 20 years now. It's quite a long time, eh? Don't judge by my youthful looks. I've been there. I wasn't born there, but I've been there for over 20 years. And then my boss's boss actually called me into the office in October last year. So this is not even just my leader, but it's their leader. And they sat me down and they had a chat with me and they said, Sang, we're looking at reshaping your area. And I go, ah, okay, I'm up for this change, right? I'm pretty adaptable, I'm up for this change. But then he said to me, as part of that future, you're not going to be in it. And I was thinking, wow, what's going on? And he said to me, this change is going to happen in the next 2 to 3 months. In the next 2 to 3 months. And I'm one to always ask for feedback, one to always understand. I asked him, well, is it something that I've done? You know, can you give me some feedback? Do I need to improve in a certain area? And he said to me, oh, no, Stang, it's nothing to do with you. You've been doing a fantastic job. It's just these changes. So I walked out of that office thinking to myself, is this for real? Is this guy trying to break up with me? It's not you, Stang, it's me. Have you heard this before? I've heard it a few times. It's not you, it's me. I'm being vulnerable here. It's not you, it's me. And then these thoughts started coming through my head, right? I was just thinking to myself, well, maybe I didn't do a good enough job. Maybe I was too vocal, because I know there's been a number of times when him and I would have conflict, right? When there was issues that I saw and I spoke up. Maybe I was being too vocal. And then fear set in. The fear set in, I was thinking, well, what do I need to do now? Do I need to go find another job? What about my team? I love my team. I am blessed with such great teams that have that great community. What about my team? What am I going to do? And let me ask you right now, do you think those reactions, if you're in that situation, do you think those reactions are normal? Yeah? Those reactions are considered quite normal on that side. And to a point where we actually had some training. A psychologist actually came in to us and told us when people are in the face of fear or threat, there are 4 common reactions that we might have. I want to go through those, all right? You can either fight. Am I out of time? I heard the bell ring. No? Okay. Subtle hint. Okay, we can either fight, we can either flight, we can either freeze, or we can either fawn. So fight talks about we push back aggressively. Like in that situation, I should escalate this to HR, right? This is unfair. I should escalate. I should push back. There's flight. This is too difficult. I'm out of here. Freeze. I am so immobilized by the situation, by the uncertainty. I don't even know what I'm going to do. And the last one is fawn. It's immediately just complying to avoid conflict. These 4 things are the common reactions that the world has actually defined how we would react when faced with a fear or threat. So let me ask you right now, if you look at those words up there, what is common about those 4 things? Sorry? Starts with F? Oh, very observant. I like this. Yes, they do start with F, right? But those are the things that are visible. Those are the things that are seen. What about the things that are unseen? Well, the common thing about each of these things is it's reliant on yourself. It's reliant on your own abilities and your own capabilities. It's reliant on how you feel in a situation. Am I right? Those things are based on what you believe or how you perceive a situation. But let me say, church, there is one other F word. Let me rephrase that. Anton can cut this out. There is one other word that starts with F that is not mentioned up here. Okay. Can anyone tell me what that word that starts with F is right now? Yes. Sorry? Did someone say something? It's not freedom. I'm not Braveheart. This is not freedom. No, it is faith. So the other word here is faith. And this is the revelation and the journey that God has been taking me on, right? What I love about this, right? You look at those 4 things. Faith is not the first thing. It's not even the second thing. It's not even the third thing. But faith is what? The 5th thing on this list. And we know that numbers have a significance in the Bible. And what does the number 5 represent? It represents grace. It represents grace. Now, how awesome is this, church? This faith that we're talking about, those 4 things are reliant on what you are capable of doing. But grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. It's not about what you do. It's about what God has already done. Is that not good? Amen, church? It's not about what you have done. It's what God has actually already done in your life. when the world has defined all these things and classified how we should react as believers, we must step out in that faith journey because we know who He is in our lives. So I want to break this down. I want to break this down and what faith actually means, because there are so many verses about faith in the Bible. But probably the most clearest and easy to understand verse is Hebrews 11:5. And that defines faith as what? I actually forgot to get my glasses, but I'll look up here. So now faith is the assurance of all things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things, all things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. And we talk about faith as being a journey, right? And this verse is actually the epitome of talking about faith in the journey, because it's broken up into two parts. It's broken up into the beginning and it's broken up to the end. Let me explain that a little bit more. So you've got here a journey. So the assurance is the start of our faith, and the end is the conviction. So when we talk about assurance, what is the assurance that we're referring to? Is it assurance of our situation, how we perceive it? No, it's the assurance of God's character, of who He is. And who is God? He is our rock. He is our foundation. He is our refuge. But above all else, He is love. He is love. And Pastor said it this morning, right? In 1 John 4:18, it says what? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. God is love. God is love. And the love that what they're referring to here, the Greek word for love here is agape. And what agape actually means is that sacrificial love, that selfless love that you have for someone else. And you know, people that are here might say, well, you know, I have that selfless love. You know, I love my spouse. I love my family member. I love my kids. I will sacrifice anything for them. If they wanted a leg, I'll give them a leg. If they wanted a kidney, I'll do those things. And I don't doubt people have that sacrificial love there. But let me ask you this. If you had a neighborhood kid who vandalizes, who swears, would you still love them? If you had someone in your life that has hurt you so deeply, has said something that made you walk away, would you love them? And I'll take it even one step further. If you had someone that insulted you, that defamed you, that battered you physically, that put a crown of thorns on your head, and that pinned you on a cross, would you still love them? That is the agape love. That is the love of our Father. He sacrificed His Son, and His Son was willing to do so because they loved us before we even loved them. That is the perfect love that we're talking about here, church. That love that transcends all understanding. That is the assurance that we have. It's not how we feel, but it's about what He has done. Are you getting me, church? I want to give you a simple example of this. Just how transformative, in just such a small and easy way that we can see. So Pastor Jeremy and Melina and their kids came over our house over the Easter break. And they were talking to us about, you know, asking the kids how the school was, and was talking to Kieran, how's school? And then I think my wife said, oh, you know, Kieran's got a very young teacher. So Pastor Jeremy asked, oh, so Kieran, you got a young teacher, hey? Lack of experience. You know, do you take advantage of that because she's so young? And, you know, Kieran's response was, I was a bit worried about what he would actually say, but Kieran's response was, no, she's really, really nice. And because she's young, she knows all the technology and all the tricks that we do. So when we play games on Google and whatever else, she knows all those things. And when she asks us to stop, we stop because she's really nice. But the older ones, they don't have a clue what we do, but they're very strict. We even have to help them with their IT issues. And he said, look, when they ask us to do something, we try to avoid it and we try to sneak around and find different ways of doing things. Right? So my son is quite cheeky. But you can see there in that example, right? The teacher that just loved on our children, that showed love in that situation, that was nicer, the kids reacted in such a positive way that when they were guided, they listened straight away. Because, you know, the second part of this verse talks about with fear there is punishment, right? And sometimes we may think that fear in that way is the right way to do it because we see an instant result. But I can tell you now, when we love someone when they don't deserve it, when that comes not from ourselves but from that overflow, that is what's going to transform hearts and minds. Are you getting me, church? This is what we're talking about, is that perfect love up there. That is God's character. That is our assurance. And that is our rock. All right, the second part, the end, is the conviction. And it's the conviction of what? It's the conviction of God's promises. You know, Sarah gave lots of examples there on the screen before about different ways God has promised, right? And it's about promises are things that are not seen. Because if we can see the result, it's not really faith journey, right? If you can see the outcome, then you have control of it. But if it's unseen, that's where it requires faith. That requires us to step forward. And we're not going to step forward just blindly. We have His word, right? We have His word because faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is through Christ. The more we get to know Him, the more we understand we can claim the promises that He has for each and every one of us. And I'll just give you some examples here that, you know, if you go on from the Hebrews 11:1, and I'm going to have to take out my phone now. I did leave my glasses inside my bag here. But I'm going to read on for chapter 11, verses 2 to 6. By it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, and through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And this last bit, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. And this chapter goes on to talk about all these people that have stepped out into faith. And you look at these examples, you look at Abraham, you know, his descendants, as many as the stars are in the sky. Did he ever see that promise come to fruition, church? He didn't, right? But he still stepped out into that faith journey. Even though the midst of uncertainty, he didn't realize what's going to happen, but he still stepped out in faith. That is God's promises right there. That is the faith journey that we're talking about here. We start off with the assurance of his character, and we end with the conviction of his promises. Is that good? And some people might say, well, you know, these stories, they're in the Bible. You know, they're old stories. What about the miracles of today? I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. You know, a friend of mine had a chat with me a couple of months ago and said, like, wouldn't it be great to be able to hear God tangibly, to be able to converse with him? And not all of us have that opportunity to converse with him directly, right? But I know when we read his word and soak in his word, he will speak to us. But more so than that, I would say, how do we attune ourselves to see the things of God? I would challenge us, are we so distracted by everyday life that we forget that he is working? You know, I love that worship song, Waymaker, and I love the bridge there. You know, even if I don't see it, he's working. Even if I don't feel it, he's working, because he never stops. He never stops, right? He continually works even when we don't even feel it, even when we don't even realize it. So I want to finish on my last bit about freedom. We talked about fear. We talked about faith. And now we're going to talk about freedom. And I'm going to give you some testimonies. Like I said, God has been implanting this word in my heart for the last several months and taking me on this faith journey as well. And I'm just going to give you some simple examples of how God has been present in my life. So the first one is about his timing. You know, my wife, she recently got injured. She's in the back corner there. Recently got injured and hurt herself, as many of you may have seen her hobble around. And we were actually sitting in the car one time, and the physio advised her, you know, to build up your leg muscles a bit more. You need to walk and walk a bit more to exercise. But then she said, "Oh, when I exercise, my legs is sore. It gets swollen." I said, "Well, you need to push, and I can feel the tension in the car. I can feel the tension. The kids were in the back. There was a tension in our conversation. I was telling her, you need to move more. She was saying, but it hurts. And you can see this conflict. I'm an engineer, by the way. So I like to solve and problem solve. And for those that have partners, it's not always helpful. So anyway, it started to erupt. And then all of a sudden, a song popped up on the radio. And it wasn't just any song. It was one of our favorite artists. Not just as a couple, but as a family as well. The kids love them. And then not only the song, but the lyrics, it just really hit home with us. And the song went a little bit like this. I'm going to sing for you, okay? All right. So when your legs don't work like they used to before, because you fell and you broke three bones in your ankle, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, but I can sweep them off the floors. With your mouth still remember the taste of my love, because I'm cooking more, but I pray I don't poison her. With your eyes still smile from your cheeks. So darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Hopefully a lot longer, because I've been exercising. I've lost a lot of weight. Oh, that's it, church. I won't go anymore. We're in freedom now. I don't want to jump back to fear, okay? But you listen to the lyrics, right? It was so much our time, and it is God's timing, and it broke the tension. I looked at her. I smiled. I'm sure she wanted to smack me, but I smiled anyway, because that song was for us, and it was God's timing. So the next one is my testimony about abundance. So she's had the fall, and we've been out for maybe about 2.5 months or so that she's had her injury, or no, maybe closer to 3 months actually. And I am so blessed by everyone in this community. I kid you not, out of the 3 months there, I've only had to cook a handful of times, church. And each of the times, people would call up Anna and say, "Look, I'm bringing you a meal for dinner, so don't cook this afternoon or this evening." But you know what? Those meals lasted for more than one meal. It lasted for days. It lasted for weeks, to a point where we had to say, "Guys, you need to stop bringing us food. We need to ration this, okay? So bring it in a few weeks' time." We were so amazed by the miracle that overflowed from the love of this community, church. You know, we talk about those miracles of old. We talked about, you know, Jesus multiplying, you know, the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. But our God is a God of today. He multiplies green curry. He multiplies beef raganda. He multiplies so much of this food, but he multiplies through the love of this community. Through us collectively as a family, through what you do, he is flowing through you all. Amen, church. Amen. So the last one I was going to share was his provision. So I'm going to end with a bit of closing out on the testimony of where I am now, because I'm sure everyone wants to hear what actually happened. So 2 months went by, still uncertain. 3 months went by, and I was still continuing my role to see what happens. And do you think I stepped out in faith straight away? No. You know, I decided, well, maybe I'll go look for another job. Maybe I'll look for another job. I actually applied for another job. And I actually got an interview for the following week. And I actually told my leader, you know, I applied for another job and I've gotten interviewed. And I told her what company I applied for. And she was quite surprised that I would actually look. And then she goes, oh, you applied for that company. Did you look on the news? I said, what do you mean? So I Googled it up and the area that I was going to go into, potentially, they were making like 1,500 people redundant. So I was thinking, oh, maybe not. But I didn't actually have to do anything because on that Friday, and I was having the interview on Monday, I actually got an email and said, look, we're not hiring for that position anymore. So I think, wow, is this God working here? And then I was at Life Group and I was having a chat with Belly, actually. I was having a chat with Belly and Dennis, and I was talking about this issue and this conflict that I was having with my boss's boss. And it was actually Belly at the time that said to me, saying, maybe God has put you in this position to actually say something, to actually call out any of these injustices. Because if you don't do it, who else is going to? So I reflected on it. I thought I was going to ignore her, but I decided not to because I know God was speaking through my sister then. So I actually, before I took some leave off, we had some cousins coming up from the US that was staying with us. I actually wrote my boss's boss an email and I said to him, what you're doing right now, it's disempowering us. It's challenging, but I want to understand so I can work better with you in the future. Because I want to build our relationship. Because I know our God is a God about relationships. He wants a relationship with us and he wants us to have relationship with others. Am I right? So I wrote that email, I sent it off, and then I actually got a response that evening. About 11 o'clock, I got a response and it said, look, Sang, when you come back from leave, let's catch up and let's have a chat. So I went on leave and I came back and actually, he actually called on the very first day to organise something with me, to catch up with me. And he shared with me and he said, look, Sang, I understand how you're feeling. And I won't go through the details of that conversation, but I got an opportunity to really share what's on my heart. And he had an opportunity to share what's on his heart as well. And from that, you know, it was difficult. You can imagine going to one of the senior leaders within the business of having this conversation, having this courageous conversation. But it wasn't from my strength because I know the Father had my back on that side. And he had an understanding of where I am. And I don't know if it was related or not, but after that conversation, where I'm here now, you know, it's been 8 months since I had that first conversation with him. And my leader caught up with me only about 3 weeks ago. And she says, look, we're still reshaping the business. There's like five or six roles here, Sang. Which one do you want to choose? Because you have a right to choose whatever you are seeking. Amen, church. That is his provision. I didn't expect any of those things, right? From you only have 2 to 3 months to you have a choice. You have a choice. And I knew straight then when she was saying, it was, wow, this is my God. This is nothing that I've done, nothing that I've deserved, but it's all who he is. Amen, church. I want to invite the worship team up here right now. This is God's provision right there. Three things. We talked about fear, that fear of uncertainty, that fear of the unknown. We listened to that message, you know, when Sarah shared, you know, some of us may be feeling uncertain and it's okay to feel uncertain. It's okay to feel unsure. But have that assurance of who the Father is in his character, in his love. And we have the conviction of his promises, of what he has in his word that we can claim. And we're going to have that freedom, church. Right here, we're going to declare that freedom in First Light. We're going to be a testimony of who He is. We're going to step out boldly, and we're going to share this story in whatever a few months and a year's time, and we're going to praise Him at the top of our lungs, because He is our way maker. When even when we don't feel it, and even when we don't see it, He is working. He is working in ways that we cannot see, that are intangible to us, and we might not see it in our lifetime, but we continue to rest in His promises. So I want to ask everyone here to just stand up with me right now. Just lift up your hands here, church. Just lift up your hands. For those that are feeling in the moment in their situation, if they are feeling uncertain for whatever reason, it may be in their family life, maybe in their friendships, maybe in their work life, that they have a struggle, an inward struggle that's eating away at you right now, that you are unsure of what you're going to do. But don't be unsure anymore. Rest it on the Father who loves us. We have that undeserved favor because He sacrificed His Son, and His Son was willing to die for us on that cross, that we may be reconciled to Him. That we have the freedom and the boldness to walk out when the world has defined how we should react. To fight, to flight, to freeze or to fawn. We know we can step out here in faith because we have faith in who He is. And we have the conviction of what He has in store for us. We thank You for this community. We thank You for this time. And we just want to thank You for who You are. And we pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.